Your button and we'll be live.
Perfect.
Hey
Okay.
everyone. Oh, sorry. Ready to go? Okay. Hey
Yep.
everyone, and welcome to Chef AJ Live. I'm your host, Chef AJ, and this is where I introduce you to amazing people like you who are doing great things in the world that I think you should know about. My guest today is Dr. Erin Mayfield, and she's going to be talking about culinary medicine and the teaching kitchen, as well as critical components of chronic disease management. Please welcome her to the show. It's very nice to see you again.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for inviting me back to your show. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, let's just tell people, because obviously when you do a show every day and sometimes multiple shows a day, not everyone sees every episode, but you were on the show for a very brief period of time during a wonderful 3-day summit that we called How Healers Heal, because you were part of that book. And you mentioned something about like culinary medicine, teaching kitchen. And I said, that sounds really interesting. And so you agreed to come back and talk a little bit about that and even give a presentation. And I'm very excited because as a chef, to me, anything with culinary in it sounds great.
Oh, well, me too. And I'm learning. So I was actually an OBGYN in Covington, Georgia for almost 30 years. Relocated to the panhandle of Florida in late 2017. I was a whole food plant-based eater, probably for about 10 years at that point, because I discovered Dr. T. Colin Campbell's book, The China Study. And that was it. I was a convert. I discovered lifestyle medicine after I moved to the panhandle. And realized then that that was a lot of the work that I love to do with women in their GYN exams. So when women came in for their annual exams, we not only addressed female issues, but we also talked about life's problems. Frequently, those were inability to lose weight, gaining weight easily, inability to sleep well, hot flashes, stress. And so when women would come in for their exam, we would sit down and we would try to identify the causes of these problems, things that we might be able to change, how we could create a weight management system using food to help them lose weight naturally, add in some exercise. And I really poured my heart into that. As the years went by, and really decades of practice, I felt like it really wasn't working. And I honestly started to feel like a failure as a physician because we would counsel so much and they would leave with a plan of action and yet come back the next year and it seemed like we really didn't make a dent in the issues they were dealing with. So once I discovered lifestyle medicine, that was like the piece of the puzzle that had been missing. And so we'll talk about that today. I'm excited to share that I did branch into teaching cooking classes in last year in 2022, actually the beginning of middle of 2022 into 2023, all through 2023, but found that the teaching kitchen was really the most powerful model to help people in their journey to great health. And helping people transition to whole plant foods and learning how to cook recipes where every ingredient was heart healthy.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Because wouldn't it be cool if there was like a culinary medicine degree that doctors could get in medical school?
Yes, and there are culinary medicine courses where they can become certified. But oh, I would love to see it in medical schools, and we're working hard to try to make that happen through the college.
That would be so cool. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just curious, when did you first get interested in culinary medicine, lifestyle medicine, plant-based living and eating?
Plant-based living was when I read the China Study by Dr. Campbell, which was probably about 15 years ago now. And then only discovered lifestyle medicine as a medical specialty when I moved to Florida in 2018. So I fell in love with it. I couldn't wait to be board certified. I learned a lot in my coursework. I learned a lot of medical science that updated me and things that didn't even exist when I went to school or through my training, even into the 90s when I was practicing. So it's been quite a transformation, but a very exciting and worthwhile transformation. And I'm thrilled to share this information with your viewers and with as many people as I can, because it is the key to longevity and feeling great as we age.
Nice. How do you see patients in person, virtually? Could somebody ostensibly watching today see you either as a doctor or a coach?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I do have a virtual private practice, and I have a full license to practice in Florida and Georgia. So I can see anyone in Florida and Georgia as a physician, but I can also do talks, coaching, virtual cooking classes for anyone. I do also practice, I have an in-person practice where I volunteer at our free medical clinic for the uninsured here in Pensacola. And we also have cooking classes in our reception area. So we use the portable teaching kitchen method in our reception area.
That is very cool.
Yes, and I'll have contact information at the end with my last slide.
Where did you go to learn this? Like, did you was it Harvard that you said when you were on the show before that had this this what do you call it, specialty?
Yes, so to become board certified in lifestyle medicine, I went through their online coursework. I also was required to attend an in-person annual conference and then qualified to take the board certification exam. One of the requirements to become board certified as a physician in lifestyle medicine is board certification in another specialty. So most of us are doubly board certified. There are some new actual lifestyle medicine residencies popping up. We're very excited about that. So young physicians can enter a lifestyle medicine residency and then become board certified. As far as the culinary medicine goes, it's just a matter of reading a lot on the internet, learning from you, learning from your many seminars and YouTube videos, reading cookbooks. Just and starting to experiment in the kitchen. I think it's a journey that we've all gone down where we have to do a lot of experimenting. We have to take the leap and just give it a try.
Nice. Would you like to start your presentation?
Sure. Let's start the presentation.
Sounds good. There you go.
Okay, thank you. So I love talking about culinary medicine and the teaching kitchen. And really what physicians and healthcare practitioners need to know is that it is a critical component of chronic disease prevention and treatment. And you've heard my history about how many years I've been in medicine. I've been counseling women for a long time. Thousands and thousands of women over my career. So, what I understood after I did my lifestyle medicine training was the reason that all of that counseling that I did in the office, the reason that it didn't work was because there were two huge components that I really didn't understand. One was the influence and brainwashing that exist from our food industry. You know, the food industry really came on the scene in America in the 1950s, which means most of us grew up with it. And there are younger generations of Americans where that's all they know is foods that are easy to prep, foods that you buy at the grocery store. The other big critical component of behavior change that I didn't understand when I was in private practice was that when women or anyone is counseled in a medical office, that there's really no support to help them on that journey and execution after they leave the office. So it became very clear to me when I did the lifestyle medicine curriculum that there were new ways of supporting patients long term to help them on their journey, and that it is truly a journey. No one changes their diet and how they cook overnight. We've got to learn new ways. We've got to learn about new foods. We've got to learn new methods of cooking, and we need to have some recipes to start out with to experiment with. So these are the six pillars of lifestyle medicine. We get back to basics in lifestyle medicine, where we help people focus on eating whole plant foods, not processed foods. Sleeping well, it's a critical issue. Moderate exercise, 150 minutes of walking a week dramatically improves cardiovascular health. Stress management, healthy relationships, and of course, avoiding chemicals like cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol. The other thing that was staggering to me when I went through my lifestyle medicine training is learning how many chronic diseases are driven by lifestyle choices. And so we're looking at 80% of the chronic diseases in our country: heart attacks, strokes, pulmonary disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, autoimmune disorders, diabetes, fatty liver, chronic kidney disease. These are all driven by those six pillars of lifestyle medicine. So we have foods that we can choose that are toxic, that are damaging to our internal organs, or we can choose foods like plant foods that are healing and anti-inflammatory. We also know that 40% of adult cancers are due to diet, and that's a staggering number of cancers that are preventable. So when you think about, you take for a moment and contemplate the amount of preventable disease that we're talking about in our country. 80% of the chronic diseases that we see in our friends and loved ones, that's a staggering amount of suffering and even early deaths that are unnecessary. But the other factor is we know that the cost of healthcare is unsustainable. We all suffer with how much it costs to get healthcare. But when we look at the figures, we can see that 86% of those healthcare dollars are spent managing these chronic diseases. And so, if we could even reduce the amount of chronic diseases that we are suffering with by 50%, that's a tremendous savings in healthcare dollars. And we could start looking at healthcare premiums that really could be affordable for everyone. I like to tell the story about when I was in medical school. Because I am an old girl, I went to medical school in the early 80s, and this was before we had statins. So one day I'm in my internal medicine office rotation, and my attending physician whips around the corner and he holds up two test tubes of blood and said, "This is what your blood looks like when you have high cholesterol." And so it was spun down in the centrifuge, and it looked like there was a layer, literally a layer of lard in the top of the tube. And for those of you who have watched the Game Changers movie, it's a similar picture. They drew blood after the young men had a fatty meal, spun it down, and showed them how the fat that they ate in their meals was absorbed into their bloodstream and showed up in their blood test. So the fat that we eat is absorbed. Is absorbed, digested, and circulates in our bloodstream as small fatty particles. So that was a real shocker for me. It's something that I'll never forget. And in those days, because we had no statins, it was something that you just lived with. If your cholesterol was 350 or your triglycerides were 400, you just basically had to live with it and you died young. And that's what happened. When statins came on the scene and we saw how powerful they were to drop cholesterol and triglyceride levels, we were sure that no one would ever have to die of a heart attack or a stroke again in America. It was like this gift that was dropped from heaven. But here we are, almost 3 decades later, and we know that that's not true. We know that there are no drugs that actually restore health. No pharmaceutical agents can reverse diseases. But we know if we take advantage of our plant-based plate that contains all of the anti-inflammatory compounds that can do just that. And that's just the miraculous part about it. This is another thing that I'd like people to know. This is something that the food industry doesn't want people to know. The World Health Organization convened in 2015. They brought together 22 scientists from 10 countries to review the most up-to-date nutrition literature. And they looked at all of that and said, yes, really, there's no doubt. Processed meats cause cancer. And we are going to classify them as a class one carcinogen. So what are processed meats? Processed meats are hot dogs, jerky, sausage, bacon, and lunch meat. Things that we not only eat every day, but we have people that eat them three times a day. Our children eat them sometimes three times a day. And while they were at it, they looked at the rest of the literature and said, oh yeah, you know, probably all mammalian meat is carcinogenic. So we're going to place all mammalian meat in class two carcinogen. And this is something that the food industry does not want you to know. We do have a malnutrition crisis in America. And this is one of the reasons I am so passionate about what we're talking about. 20% of our children are now obese. 75% of our adult population is overweight or obese. We have data to demonstrate that because of the fatty meals that children are eating, they are also forming atherosclerotic plaque in their coronary arteries under the age of 18. The nutrition status of children is so dire that in January of 2022, the American Academy of Pediatrics published a position paper that encouraged pediatricians to treat obesity aggressively in children because of the health consequences. And that included using prescription diet medications and bariatric surgery when indicated. So the responsibility is on us. We are the adults that feed the children. The government creates federal food guidelines that help shape school lunches that feed our children. So we need to do something about it. And we're working as hard as we can. You know, one other critical statistic is over 10 years ago, the military declared obesity a national security crisis because one in three recruits can't pass the physical exam. Then Strong Nation put out a report in 2023 that 77% of American youth can't qualify for military service because of obesity, lack of education, and history of crime and drug use. It's a national crisis. It's truly a national crisis. So this is our answer. This is what we love in lifestyle medicine and whole food plant-based eating. Chef AJ has been a pioneer in this area, helping us learn how to create healthy recipes. We fill our plate with fruits and vegetables, plant proteins, and whole grains, and that includes tofu and soybeans. Now, going back to me counseling patients, if I counseled patients in my office and I said, and I added this information to my counseling session, and I said, okay, here, this is what you do, and then they leave, go do this. Does it work? Not usually. Why? Because they don't have support after they leave my office. So this is where the culinary medicine cooking classes and the teaching kitchen steps in. We all know that when we get that stack of papers from the doctor's office, we don't go home and we read it and study it and do what it says, right? I mean, how much benefit is that stack of papers that you get? But what happens if you go into a fun environment that's a non-judgmental environment with other people and you can have fun cooking? So to me, the teaching kitchen is that critical piece of the puzzle to really accelerate people on their journey to great health. And this is what our classes look like. Let me move this over here. Let's see.
Wow, that's a beautiful kitchen.
Oh, it is. So yes, thank you. So this is what our classes look like when we teach classes to the public. These are open to the public. We have an organic grocery store that's similar to Whole Foods, and they do have this beautiful educational center with a fabulous professional kitchen, along with a huge monitor that we can show whatever educational materials we're interested in. So what you see in these pictures are people who get together, most are strangers. They make friends during the class. We have 2 hours to relax and talk and cook. They receive copies of their recipes and they receive nutritional handouts. And I've worked with a plant certified chef who's also an RN to do these classes. So we alternate back and forth. She shows them the correct cooking skills, how to chop, how to put things together. And as she's cooking, I come in with the nutritional part and I show slides similar to what you saw earlier. So that people can go back and forth and have fun learning about the recipes, but also understand these critical components of the science of nutrition that's so lacking in general education, but also in medical education. So they have a lot of fun. The other thing that they do is they anticipate how delicious the food will be. They smell it as it's cooking. They're primed and ready to be adventurous and try new recipes. They're generally thrilled with the recipes. They can't wait to go home and try them. And they make friends. They have fun. It's a non-judgmental environment, and we have plenty of time to answer questions. So all kinds of things bubble up for them as we're sitting and talking. So we're engaging people with experiential learning. It's the best kind of learning, the teaching kitchen. I don't even know if I have words that can describe how powerful this experience is. It's a learning laboratory for life skills. We have nutrition education, we have cooking skills, but they also learn about disease prevention, what drives disease, how they can change small, make small incremental changes in their lives. How does this add up to stress management? How can they add in a little exercise? How do they foster the growth of the healthy microbiome that really helps them feel better and improves their mental health? We get all that in class. I always do post-class evaluations, and I have learned so much from these evaluations. We have a number of questions. It's very simple. It's got to be fast. Three or four questions where they can rate their experience from 0 to 5, with 5 being excellent. 99.9% of the time we get 5s. Once in a while, I do have someone who is familiar with all this information and they come for the new recipes, which is also fun. And then there's a free space where they can just write their impressions. And every single comment is an inspiration because it shows us that we were impactful, that it means a lot to them, that they appreciate having scientific information, and they appreciate the ability to ask questions and to come back to class again. So you can see some of the comments. This is the starting point of my non-meat journey. Thank you for the new tools to get started. Serotonin is produced in the gut. Date sugar sweetens and has fiber. Reminds me of the need to cut way back on sugar, cheese, and fat. The goodness of the food, the presentation. Well, that made my heart sing. And the ability to ask questions was a bonus. The food was delicious and very informative. So those are the types of learning experiences that drive me to continue to do this for the community. So is this success? This is success for me. After over 45 years of working with patients, after 30 years of counseling patients and feeling like I wasn't really effective, this is what's working. And I'm so thrilled to have that experience to share with patients to truly change their lives. And it's amazing how much change we can affect with 1 2-hour session. So I also like to share Dr. David Eisenberg's work. He started promoting teaching kitchens in the late 90s. But I think in the 90s, that wasn't information that people had their ears open to hear. It's still a work in progress. He's done so much beautiful work in the area of teaching kitchens, along with Dr. Ronnie Pollock, along with Chef AJ. And there's an international organization that people can join that are interested called the Teaching Kitchen Collaborative. So people get together from all over the world. They talk about their experiences. They share expertise. It's just a great organization to be a part of. I also like to share that for those who are healthcare providers who are a medical professional in some form or fashion, the American College of Lifestyle Medicine offers a 5.5 hour course to introduce them to the lifestyle medicine and the six pillars of health. So you can get 5.5 free hours of continuing education going to lifestylemedicine.org. I also wanted to share quickly the HEAL Scholarship. The HEAL Scholarships for this year are open. The applications are open until March 17th. The American College of Lifestyle Medicine is committed to promoting a diverse lifestyle medicine workforce, and they award underrepresented medical clinicians need-based scholarships to assist in the cost of attaining certification in lifestyle medicine. So you can read about it on the website. If you know anyone who would be interested in board certifying, and they are people of color, we support this initiative wholeheartedly. We would love to see them apply. And along those lines, to follow up, as Chef AJ talked about, she was so gracious to host a How Healers Heal Summit. It's the book that 33 Lifestyle Medicine Women Physicians co-authored. We each wrote a chapter, and we are donating the first $10,000 of profits to the Heal Scholarship Fund. So we're very excited about that. And I love this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., where he says, faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. So that is what we do on our journeys in plant-based health. That's what we've done with our cooking classes here in the Panhandle. I hope that I can encourage others to do the same thing. You just take a jump, take a leap. Another wonderful resource for people, for lay people who are interested in teaching cooking classes, who have a passion for nutrition, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine has their Food for Life courses and instructor program. You can be a medical professional and apply and become certified, but you can also be a non-medical person and apply and become certified to teach classes in your community. So there are many ways to contribute and share our knowledge. So we hope that you'll participate in that. Feel free to reach out for me if I can help in any way. And you can see my professional email address here. This is my website, lifestylemedicinewellnessandrecovery.com. So I would invite questions, and thank you all for attending today. And thank you, Chef AJ.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Mayfield. You know, that was really interesting what you said about the armed forces. And I think that I heard the same thing happen with the police force, that the obesity has become so prevalent that they're having trouble even getting recruits.
Yeah, oh, it's a tragedy. I mean, it's a critical issue. Absolutely.
So what's the answer, Ozempic?
Heaven. Well, you know, that's a whole nother talk, is the pros and cons of Ozempic. And of course, there are lots of cons. We actually have a veteran here in Pensacola. His name is Mr. Matt Jeffries. And he has taken this issue on wholeheartedly. He's created a business called Warfighter Fitness. And he knows what the requirements are for young recruits to pass the exam for each one of the military services. And so he helps young people do that. And it's an outstanding resource that young people can tap into. If they want to be in the military, they don't think they can pass the exam. If they failed the exam, Mr. Matt Jeffries, Jeffries. And I can always get you his contact information. So that's part of it. And then, of course, what we're doing. I mean, just educating adults that this is a huge problem, that it's a critical problem. And when we're aware of the implications, I think we're called to take action. You know, as responsible adults who really want to live long lives, who want to see our children live long lives, it's a call to action. We've got to do something. Mm-hmm. And so we're here to help.
Right. But how are we going to turn the ship around, if you will? Because there are more people in at least the United States, and I'm guessing the world, that are overweight and obese now. And it's, you know, some people have actually used the word pandemic to describe it. And it's like we almost can't even talk about it. I get accused. This is the interesting thing. I'll have medical doctors on the show or host a summit called The Truth About Weight Loss, where we're talking about it from a medical point of view. And I'll be accused of just even talking about it being fat shaming, even if we
Yeah.
don't say the word fat. You know, it's like people are very, very triggered by this. And I can't imagine as a doctor that must be difficult to broach the situation with a patient, you know?
Yes, I understand that completely. And there are a couple of things that I like to talk about. And I talk about this in my classes. One of them is it's not a criticism of anyone. I was in those shoes at one point. I still have my food struggles. But it's not a criticism of anyone. We come with open hearts to support as much as possible. And we want to do everything we can in our power to help people live a long and healthy life and reverse the disease that they're suffering with. The other thing that I like to talk about is, this isn't something that we can dance around anymore. We can't hide it. We can't pretend it doesn't exist. We need to all, stand up and say, okay, I'm an adult and I might have hurt feelings about this, but I need to really look at my mindset and focus on what can I do? How can I take these tools to improve my health? I don't want anyone to feel like they're fat shamed or they are embarrassed about what they eat. That's why I also like to emphasize, the food industry has done this to our food supply. It's not something that we had any control over. Their goal is to create addictive foods so that we go back and we buy their food over and over and over. And our health is not their priority. Their priority is their pocketbook. And we're bombarded with this information all day, every day. It doesn't have anything to do with our willpower or our ethics or whether or not we're a good person or a smart person or any of that. It's all about the addictive quality of the foods. And to take that information and put it on the shelf and say, now I know that. Now I understand it's the food. So if I just shift my focus and try some of these new recipes, try to focus on fresh foods, plant foods, my life can change and be better naturally, all on its own. So for me, after counseling women for years and for myself for years, trying to teach people how to keep food diaries, how to count calories, how to count fat grams, how to count grams of protein, how do you schedule what you eat, to take all of that and completely change it to teach people to focus on whole plant foods, eat your fruits and vegetables, avoid the fat, salt, and sugar, and you don't have to worry about the food diary, the fat grams, and all of those things that we used to preoccupy ourselves with. Eat a balanced diet, and then all of these other wonderful things happen as a result of that.
Nice. Karen's saying, I love the idea of teaching cooking classes in my local community, but I first need to have the confidence in my own cooking skills. Well, you can certainly get that by, you can be like a PCRM cooking instructor, or you can just, you could volunteer. I mean, just do it, just do it. It's fun to teach cooking classes, and I'm sure there's classes that can help you gain confidence, or even just going to Toastmasters. What do you like better, doing the cooking or the doctoring?
Oh my goodness. I love both because they work so well together. So it's important. I appreciate earning people's trust in that area to say this is the science-based nutrition. I like people to know that the information that I teach is not personal opinion. It's not my subjective, it's not subjective information. Everything that I teach in my class, I have a scientific reference for, or more than one, and that they can ask me anything they want, and I can produce a scientific reference as an answer, whether it's pro or con, whatever it is, we always go for the science-based information. And that's an important thing for people to remember as they look at this vast amount of information that they're bombarded with every day. If they just focus on the fresh whole plant foods and they love their produce department and they buy a 1 pound sack of dried beans and make a beautiful pot of soup. That's everything they need. It's everything they need.
You know, one thing I think that makes it difficult for people is that the hospitals themselves serve such unhealthy food. And I'm not talking about just, to the cafeteria where, the cafeteria could get guests that are not, the patients, but to the patients. I remember I had a colleague once and he was in the ER and he was there and they didn't know exactly what was wrong with him. And they said, either you had a heart attack or you have diabetes or both. This was the preliminary. And while they were waiting for the test results, they bring him dinner and it was like a beef pot pie. It was a white dinner roll with butter. It was a carton of milk and a piece of apple pie. And there was not a single fruit or vegetable on the plate. And I've a few hospitals have hired me to try to actually, interestingly enough, get the sodium lower in some of their things, and their food is so high in sodium. And then when I've worked with them and talked to like administrators, they don't want a lot of change because they say if the food isn't good, there's surveys, and then people don't want to go to that hospital. But I don't know, where I live, it's not like there's a lot of choices of hospitals. So I'm so confused how that works.
Oh, it's horrible. It turns us inside out, as you can imagine. New York City has done a spectacular job turning around the food in their hospitals. And they talk about how if they can do it, being the largest hospital system in the world, and they can convert 60% of their meals to whole food plant-based meals that patients love across all ethnicities, that anyone can do it. And I believe that. And that's one of the uphill battles that we face every day in medicine. So, yes, are we working on it? Yes. Does it turn us inside out? Yes. I mean, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, it's
And the more people we train and the more people who are aware, the more we'll be able to affect the change that we need to see happen all over the country. But we need an army of people trained in these issues. And that's why the PCRM curriculum for Food for Life is so wonderful, because non-medical people can take the course, be certified, and teach, scientific meal preparation and disease management and treatment. So it's very exciting to me to see that happen.
Like it, when you teach this, is it like a program for a certain amount of time where you do a few different modules and different classes? How does the actual culinary part work? I'm curious.
When we do our live classes for the public, those are one-time classes. Now we've started a second, we have another initiative here in Pensacola. We were very blessed to receive a grant from Amgen Biotechnology to take cardiovascular education and culinary medicine into our underserved Black communities. So we actually have funding to buy the food and take our portable kitchen into different communities along with cardiovascular education. And that has been very well received. We are running now what we call cohorts of 5 weeks at a time. So we will choose recipes that are culturally sensitive, that are appealing, that have been proven to be enjoyed by the groups. And we introduce them to new recipes. We talk nutrition information. And at the end of 4 weeks, they feel very comfortable in creating new recipes. And they're very comfortable with the nutrition science and how it's affecting their health. So we do both. We have standalone classes, and then we have 4 week cohorts.
Right. What are some of the recipes you like to make in class, and what are the ones that are most popular among the students?
Oh, well, we love our chilies. Three bean chili, red and green lentils. When I make chilies, I throw in as many vegetables as I can. We throw in greens at the last minute using a vegetable broth base. Lots of tomatoes. So those are wonderful. We take our 8-quart Instant Pot and use that as part of our portable teaching kitchen. Spicy red cabbage. Red cabbage is a favorite. There are many tofu dishes that we love to make. We love to introduce people to concept of tofu and how many different ways you can use it, and what a healthy, clean protein it is, what a healthy protein it is for your kidneys. We use it in spreads, desserts. We use, of course, like you do, the firm and extra firm to spice it up, to bake it in the oven. So there are just so many things we can do, but there's so many people that have not cooked with it before.
Yeah,
So those are our biggies.
I love that you mentioned the 8-quart Instant Pot, because I always tell people, I understand people want to save money, as do I, but I always tell people, when it comes to appliances, get the biggest and best that you can afford, because I think a lot of people end up being a little bit unhappy when they get the 6-quart, because you can do some it for just a few pennies more. You can do so much more with the 8-quart, and you can always make a smaller recipe in a big machine, but not a big one in a small machine. So I feel like those 2 quarts make a difference. They actually have a 10-quart now, which I do need another one for whatever reason. I'm actually going to buy.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing, because that's excellent for our cooking classes when we're cooking for 20 people. That's
Absolutely,
a
absolutely.
challenge. Yeah.
And so these are demonstration classes, or do the students actually also get to make the food at times?
So far, we've had demonstration classes. Now, we try to engage students to help us chop, practice their chopping skills, that type of thing. But most of it's demonstration. We do not have a professional cooking studio where we can place students at stations where they each have a cutting board. We just don't have that type of facility yet.
Nice. What part do you think is most difficult for people when they are embracing changing to a whole food plant-based diet? Is it the elimination of the animal products? Is it the processed food? Is it the oil? Where do you think people get tripped up, especially at first?
Initially, my experience has been it's giving up the meat, and not necessarily beef, but the chicken, and this core belief that chicken is a healthy protein. I mean, that's huge
That's funny
somewhere.
that you brought this up, because Dr. Michael Clapper and Dr. Zach Burns did a whole 90-minute presentation on this show Saturday talking about how chicken is not a health food.
Yes, exactly. And but it's, that's a good example of how we are inundated with these marketing messages that it is. And then you hear it. You hear it all over. You hear it from personal trainers. They'll tell you to go home and eat your eggs and your chicken. It's clean protein. But so, and I mean, so as you know, it's not at all. So I just help people focus on the beans. Another interesting fact that I think most people don't know or understand is that the acidic environment that's created in our bodies by eating the meat, the cheese, the eggs, the dairy, that acidic environment is not only damaging to our blood vessels, but it's very damaging to our kidneys. And that's one another reason we're seeing such a rise in chronic kidney disease. It's another reason that we're seeing colon cancer at younger ages. I know that most people have seen the commercial on television from the American Cancer Society that says, we're seeing colon cancer at younger ages. You all better start getting your first screening colonoscopy at age 45. Well, why is that? Well, it's because it's such a meat heavy, dairy heavy, fat, salt, and sugar heavy diet that we eat. So the diet is driving the disease, and we can change it. We could change it.
The diet
So
is
thank
driving the disease, but they don't really teach people that in medical school very much.
No, they don't. But what is encouraging to me is the young physicians who are learning about lifestyle medicine. They're eager to learn, they're excited about it, and they talk about how they don't want to be pill pushers. And so I'm very inspired by our young physicians today, and we just need to get more of it in medical schools. And the college again is working hard to do that. We actually have developed, I didn't develop, but the college has a residency curriculum and a culinary medicine curriculum available to educators for free. So we can get this worked into the medical students' education and internship and residencies for that matter.
Great. Let's see. Donna says, I couldn't do an 8-quart recipe. It makes too much food. I don't know if that's true, Donna, because if you've ever made my black bean mushroom chili, it is not too much food. It's a regular recipe, but by using the 8-quart instead of the 6-quart, you're able to put everything in because mushrooms really shrink down and corn and stuff. So, but that's fine. If you're happy with your 6-quart, then please keep using it. So I see a comment from Linda here. Where is it? What irks me sometimes is the same judgmental looks and biases, not knowing I have lost over 80 pounds with more to go. It's a journey I'm currently on. Yeah, it's interesting that people, this is, we can't control like people's responses to us in the world, unfortunately, when it comes to
Goodness,
that.
congratulations to Linda for losing 80 pounds. That
Yeah,
is
that's amazing.
outstanding. We are proud of you. That is
Outstanding.
fantastic. And people learn from you because of that. So it's very exciting. You'll just affect so many people in a positive way with what you're doing. So congratulations.
So I noticed on your website you these 4-week classes, you have one and you have an 8-week one. Is this something anybody can register for? Are these virtual classes or are they in-person classes?
Yes, those are virtual classes. I can personalize the classes to the group's interest. I can work with people one-on-one. And I love to do that. It really depends on what they prefer. So if a group wanted to come in and take a class, we can work that through Zoom meetings. I can set up a Zoom meeting in my kitchen. We can cook together on Zoom meetings. So there are lots of different things that we can do together.
What are your favorite types of recipes to make, and what do you eat in a day?
Oh, yeah, I feel like I eat simple food overall. I love to batch cook. So the spicy cabbage, the red cabbage is one of my favorites. It's so easy to make. Sometimes I make it with a little chili pepper, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I make it sweeter, sometimes I don't. But it's just easy to make. Chop everything up with some vegetable broth, throw it in the Instant Pot, it's done. And I've got 3 quarts of cabbage to eat over the next week or two. The batch cooking, a big soup pot of chili. I love to add in legume type pasta, so chickpea noodles, lentil noodles. Lentil pancakes. I've got a black bean brownie recipe that's wonderful. And the nutrition profile is just, light years improved than a traditional brownie recipe. And it's made without refined flour, refined sugar, or eggs. I've got a banana bread recipe. I throw in blueberries. That's a staple at our house too. And then just fruits and vegetables. Sometimes I just chop up some veggies and eat some. But yeah, fruits and vegetables, cook a pot of quinoa, have it in the refrigerator, cook a pot of whole grain rice, it's so easy in the Instant Pot, and have food around the house to eat. I think that's key too, is always having those foods that you enjoy in the refrigerator that are go-to foods that you can pull out when you're hungry or when your schedule's tight, or that you can take and pack in your lunch.
Yeah, I think some, I want, unless somebody eats every single meal at a restaurant or a drive-through, I think that doing some kind of batch prep is so essential just to eating in this world today. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how
Absolutely.
people not like if I were to have to work all day and come home and think what's for dinner, like I would just be overwhelmed and have to go out,
Oh, I agree with you. And so I default to poor eating habits if I do that. If I'm not prepared when I hit the door, then what I eat, if I don't have it in the refrigerator to grab, then I don't eat anything good, but I always have something there to grab. One of the tricks that I would talk to patients about that I use too is if I'm working all day and I'm starving at the end of the day, eat a piece of fruit on the way home in the car. Have a big glass of water. Eat a piece of fruit so that you're not starving when you hit the door. So that's another little trick to keep you on track to eating healthy after you get home from work.
Absolutely. Or have little like pre-cooked potatoes or sweet potatoes, because sometimes people
Yeah.
need like a little bit of a starch yet, like on the commute and things like that. Because there seems to be more hours for people between lunch and dinner than there is breakfast and lunch. And that's when they often hit the vending machine.
Yeah, that's so true. And sweet potatoes are such a fabulous snack.
Oh, they're so good. They're my favorite food. I mean, in the whole world.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. I see a nice. Let's see. I can't read. I got to get glasses, but I'm going to read a comment. I'm a breast cancer survivor and I do eat a lot of plant-based foods. I have to admit, I have a crock pot that I bought but never used. I'd be willing to do this with you live. So, crock pots are great. The only thing about crock pots is you can't really do a cooking class based on a crock pot, because a crock pot's going to take about 6 hours for whatever it is to be ready. So, that's why a lot of us prefer the pressure cooker, because you can have like a hot meal ready in, 10 or 15 minutes. So, but crock pots are great if you plan ahead, you know? Yep. I saw something else here. This is, I want to lose weight. You have, okay. Well, Dr. Mayfield has a program. I have a book. There's lots of resources in the plant-based community for that. For sure. Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with a crock pot. I mean, I use them occasionally, often to keep things warm. But if you want your dinner ready, you have to have put it in at breakfast, basically. Yeah, absolutely. If you guys have any questions for Dr. Mayfield, just please place them in the chat. It's always great when you start with four question marks. What about exercise? Because, I remember there was a certain, I think it was Coca-Cola, there was this thing like, they weren't taking any responsibility of saying, well, people are becoming so overweight because they don't exercise.
Oh my goodness. And so we know that sodas are strictly chemical water. That's what I always told my patients. When you pick up a can of soda, just look at it and go, okay, I'm drinking chemical water. So that's my comment on sodas. Exercise is phenomenal for boosting your metabolism. And the recommendations to dramatically improve cardiovascular risk are 150 minutes of moderate exercise a week, which can be 30 minutes of walking 5 days a week. Those can be divided up into different sessions. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes all at once. If you do 10 minutes three times a day, that's fabulous. Now, they also define vigorous exercise, like you would get into the gym and you would have a weightlifting class, or swimming, or running, or bicycling. That would be more vigorous exercise. And the recommendations there are a minimum of 75 minutes per week. But all movement is good. Movement is important. We also know now that research demonstrates that having one exercise class and then sitting the rest of the day is not necessarily healthy either. So the number of hours you sit during the day can be a risk factor for chronic disease. They've got fitness trackers now that will go off. I know my watch goes off. If I sit for too long, it buzzes and says, time to get up and walk around. And so utilize those. If you have those on your watches, set a little timer. It is good to get up and walk. It's really good to get up and walk 5 minutes an hour. But for sure, at least every 2 hours, you've got to get up and move around, keep your hydration up. Start drinking first thing in the morning as soon as you get out of bed. And then, of course, wind down after 7 p.m. so you're not up all night in the bathroom. But the water is a critical issue too. You want to keep your hydration up.
Absolutely. Donna would like to know, what are your thoughts on annual mammograms? A lot of people in our community cite Dr. Greger's work. Are you familiar with Dr. Michael Greger, How Not to Die, How Not to Age, those books for it?
Yes, we were so grateful to have Dr. Greger here in Pensacola a week and a half ago.
Oh,
So,
nice.
yes, I'm one of his biggest fans. And yet, as a gynecologist, I've met too many women with breast cancer. And so I do like to see women get a mammogram every year. And I know there are pros and cons to that. There's data that shows it's not necessarily effective doing it every year. But I know that for myself, if I went for 2 years without a mammogram and I showed up with breast cancer, and I would regret it. So it's a personal decision. It's important to look at the data. It's always important to look at the data and mull it over and study it and talk to people, but also do what you feel is best for you. And we individuals, we can only know what's best for us. I can't know what's best for anyone else. So I always like to encourage patients, yes, be in the know, study the data, talk to people, but then follow your gut feeling.
And so you say, well, why not a thermography instead?
And thermography, was that what you?
A thermography instead of a mammogram.
Thermography has not been proven to be as effective, nearly as effective as a mammogram. So I would not rely on thermography to detect breast cancer
Well,
and abandon mammograms, especially with the 3D mammograms that we have available now.
yep. Well, I don't, we have a lot of different opinions on that on this show. So, like you say, people should really thoroughly investigate it and do what's best for them, not just take one person. They need to do what's best for them in all areas of their health.
Yes, I mean, you have a gut feeling. You can mull it over and take your time, but your gut feeling, you follow your gut feeling. And I 100% respect everyone's feelings about the journey that they're on. Life is a journey. And so we've got to take it one step at a time, and it changes, and we adapt as we're hit with the change. And do the best we can.
Absolutely. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, your information is in the show notes. Do you have any social media presence or a place that people can connect with you?
I do have a Facebook page, Lifestyle Medicine, Wellness, and Recovery. It's the same name as my practice.
Thank
And
you.
people are welcome to come and send me messages on Facebook also. I'm on Instagram. But to send a message, it's better through my email address or the Facebook Messenger.
Facebook Messenger. Thank you. Any speaking engagement or any fun things coming up for you?
Oh my goodness. Well, we are working on our grant work here in Pensacola. So those are my upcoming speaking engagements. I don't have anything else that's live at this point in time.
That's good. Well, thanks for the wonderful presentation, Dr. Mayfield.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Chef AJ. It's a pleasure. And I appreciate everyone who's listening in. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thanks all of you for watching another episode of Chef AJ Live. Please come back in about 90 minutes at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time when I have Susan
Yeah.
Gutierrez. I know, don't these look delicious? These are raw vegan. There's no refined sugar. There's no like flours. These are made by Susan Gutierrez. She is the pastry chef at Raw Fresno. And I'm going to do a live taste testing. And the good news is she is going to give the recipe for the date caramel blondies, not for their carrot cake, because that's like their best seller. But anywhere in the United States, they ship to you too. So
Oh.
wouldn't you love to try these in your teaching kitchen, Dr. Mayfield?
Oh, absolutely.
I know
Hey,
they
I
look
have to
so
go
good.
crazy. Those are beautiful.
They are delicious. It's too bad it's 3 hours away. But they do visit every now and then. Thanks again, Dr. Mayfield, and thanks everyone for watching. Take care. Bye-bye.